Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Cloud Church of Conscious Harmony. I'm really grateful you're here. Thank you for your intention on this beautiful Sunday morning in the middle of August. It's good to be together, and I look forward in the near future to seeing you face to face. But until then, we hold each other in our hearts, and our eyes are opened in this inward way. So today we'll be pondering the joy of forgetting, which is an unusual thing to think about because we usually think of forgetting as a bad thing, an embarrassing thing. I oftentimes forget things in front of all of you and it's embarrassing, but you know, so the way it is. But that's how it goes. But forgetting is actually a beautiful thing, and it's part of the spiritual journey. And without the gift of forgetting, we'd be undone and overloaded with so many traumas and memories. So we wish to experience the joy of forgetting in our life today, and I thank you for your presence. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to bless this service, that in some way we would increase in love and consciousness and it would feed the world. Let us join in wishing that together. Amen.
Please join us in invoking the Holy Spirit with our song, Come and Pray. Holy Spirit, come. Please join us in singing the gospel in one word.
Good morning. Please join me in our invocation. We remember God, and God is in our hearts. And our verse, we're just going to do a couple pieces of it today. If you'll be my echo, O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. As we begin today, I want you to try to remember the last time you saw a rainbow. Where were you? Was it a double rainbow, perhaps? I want you to think about the fact that when there's a rainbow, there's rain, there's water. That's important. Water is precious. And rainbows are a sign of hope. Well, perhaps you remember that we've been telling a story about Wilson's adventures. Now, maybe you're just joining us and you don't know Wilson. This is Wilson. Wilson sometimes gets into the church and we let him. But he hasn't done anything that he shouldn't do in the church. I think he was digging in the flower beds outside, though. So we've had a talk about that. Well, Wilson was taking a walk a while back, and there was a child playing with one of these rainbow silks. And Wilson thought it was so exciting that he jumped up and he grabbed a hold of it, and he entered the rainbow. So right now, see if you can grab hold of the rainbow, and we're going to find out about the rest of Wilson's adventures. Ready? Did you get it? Good. So if you remember, Wilson was in the green frequencies of the rainbow, in the green and growing times. And he was there with the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd told him to stay. And he stayed. And he stayed for a day, or a week, or a month, or many lifetimes. We don't really know. But eventually, Wilson woke up in that beautiful green pasture of the Good Shepherd. And there was green and growing things all around him. And he felt young again. His back legs weren't stiff when he got up and started to run. And then he caught a scent. Dogs can smell things that people can't smell. It was the fragrance of Christ. And he followed it, and it led him to a droplet of water. It was blue. Wilson entered the drop of water. And he saw it as the water that fills his water bowl at home, and even as the water in the toilet that he likes to drink sometimes. And he saw it as the water in the pond where he chases fireflies at night. And he saw it as the water in the ocean that he visited one time. And he saw it as the water in his own body, the water that is water everywhere. And Wilson saw that there were water protectors all in this beautiful blue light. They were angels. And Wilson was so happy to see that there was water everywhere, and that there were people and angels protecting the water. And he followed that water droplet as it led over to the very edge of a new band of light, the indigo light. And he bravely stepped into the indigo light, and there he saw children, millions of children getting ready to be born on earth. And here too, there were angels working among the children. The children were very brave and courageous to be preparing to come to earth at this time of history. And he saw that the angels were helping them get all of the gifts that they would need in order to do the work that they would come to do. And Wilson wondered if he would ever meet any of these children that were coming. Maybe you will meet them too. Well, he spent some time there in the indigo light, and he saw that it was like the night sky when there was a full moon. It was that color of deep blue. And then, before he knew it, he was being drawn into the violet flame. And there, in that band of light, he saw that there were more angels, lots of beings. They weren't like people, and they didn't have wings. They had a flame of light, and they were flickering in and out of a light that was as bright as trillions of galaxies. And Wilson couldn't believe he was actually getting to see this. And he saw that these angels were actually working to repair the ozone layer, that they were part of the protection for the people of the earth and all the living things. And he felt so blessed to be there. And then he saw that there were many levels of violet light that weren't even visible to the human eye. And he followed and followed to the shortest frequency of light. And there, at the end of the rainbow, he found something gold and sparkling. It was the golden ruler that he brought back. He took it gently in his mouth and returned across the rainbow, back home again. But he had brought something precious with him, a reminder that we must do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And that's the end of Wilson's adventure in the rainbow, or is it? But I want to give you a message from Granny and Red. As you know, they introduced the Lucky Lightworker Pledge last week, and one person out of all of the Zoomers decided to become a Lucky Lightworker. And Granny asked me to bring Jill's certificate today. She's our first Lucky Lightworker. But Granny also asked me if we could make Pastor Peter an honorary Lucky Lightworker. So Pastor Peter gets a certificate today also, because we know very well that he is a light worker among us, and he is our good shepherd. I hope you will decide to email the church and become a lucky light worker and take the pledge. With the light of God in me, I bless everything I see. And this week, guess what we're blessing? The water that is water everywhere. And I'm in. Our first reading is taken from Bernadette Roberts. The unforeseeable surprise of the no-self event is not the cessation of the phenomenal conditional self, but rather the dissolution of the divine ground or being, the sensation of the entire realized or unitive condition. Now, when there is no divine ground or being, there can be nothing in it, nothing arising from it, nothing identical to it, no self, nothing. The transcendental fire, or living flame of love, has gone out and taken self with it. Without fuel, the fire goes out. Without self, there is no divine fire. The divine fire has finally consumed the self, and when this consummation is complete, even the divine dies. The fire goes out. Since the divine ground or being was our deepest experience of life and being, its sudden disappearance is the instant withdrawal of the entire experience of life and being. This is why it is a true death experience and one justifiably called the death of God. Not only has the Christ self or true unconscious self disappeared, but more importantly, divine being or ground, source, father, and spirit has disappeared. They disappear together because they are one anyway. Obviously, the divine play is over. The curtain has rung down on self. The veil of the temple is rent. The ridge pole is split. The house of self has collapsed. Whatever we may have thought self to be, the absolute, the eternal soul, the individual psychological self, the unconscious, no self, or whatever, it makes no difference now. Every experience these labels expressed is gone. Nothing remains that could possibly be called self or consciousness. Discovering the true nature of what remains, however, will be the revelation that lies ahead, a revelation that is the resurrection. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Good morning, young light workers. How did your week go going through it with a light touch? I'd love to hear your experiences. I was conscious myself as I was paying attention to this light work that I was reminded about the light beings that are surrounding us all the time. And this week, each morning at 8 o'clock, when we do our morning devotion, our morning prayers include prayers to these light beings we call angels. And so I thought we might pray together, if you join me, that prayer to the angels. Michael on the right, be with me when my own love fails, my heart closes, and I feel disconnected, judgmental, cruel, and unkind. I pray, help me and inspire me with what it is to be truly loving and lovable. Gabriel on the left, show me my fear that I may know it. Guide and help me be with it so that I may not act from it unknowingly. Uriel in the front, aid my clarity, thought, and discrimination so all my actions are blessed by you. Raphael in the back, awaken in me always the knowing of the miracle of your healing, and enter into me today to heal any of this day's pains or worries. Divine light, Shekinah, enter from without into my body and flow through my body, bringing the joy of your creating. I've been praying this prayer for many, many years, and I've had incredible, amazing experiences. I'd like to share one of them with you. I was going into surgery on my neck, and I prayed to the angels. And when the surgery was over and they wheeled me out of the operating room into the recovery room, Deborah was there waiting for me, and I was still partially sedated, so I don't remember. When she told me a couple of days later that as I came out of the operating room, I looked up at her and said, angels flying everywhere. They still are. I'm in.
Our second reading is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
It's a little cobweb here. Hello, little spider. Yeah, you're coming all the way down from the light workers. You can't see this filament, but I'm pulling it down. There it is. Hello. How fascinating. Last night I was listening to Hillsong Worship in my apartment, and I was overcome with the joy of remembering and big tears coming down as I am moved by that music so deeply. I know that when I want to feel, I oftentimes need to put on a particular kind of music, and that Hillsong Worship really helps me feel what I'm feeling. And the joy of remembering is one of God's gifts to us as human beings, the gift of our memory. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, the gift of remembering our story, to know ourselves, and the joy of knowing ourselves, and the contrast by which, as we know ourselves more clearly, we can see where our being has grown and changed and been transformed. And it's in the looking and the seeing and the observing that, by way of our memories, we discover a joy that is almost hard to describe, that we have gotten to be this, that this gift of life, this lifetime that we've experienced, has been ours, including all the difficulties and pains and sufferings and sad stories. Last week we talked a little bit about the power of wishing, which is a little bit different direction than looking at the past or remembering one's life. Wishing is this forward, advanced, desiring, conceiving, imagining, placing our consciousness into the future and as if seeing it, as if it's real. And it's a beautiful gift of declaring and calling upon the angels and being light workers, using our words to make affirmations and denials and to wish our life into being. It's a really powerful joy and a gift in our life, especially today in the pandemic situation, to use the joy of wishing and to imagine the future, a greater, more beautiful, healthier, just, equitable future. And today we're going to look at the joy of forgetting, which is kind of paradoxical joy, because most of us have a fear of forgetting, especially that fear of public speaking when we're forgetting. I remember hearing a story about a preacher who was in front of a large audience at some sort of stadium, and he got into his message and forgot what he was saying and literally said, "I lost my place. I forgot what I was saying." And a young kid up in front said, "Start toward the end." And, you know, it's terrifying to forget something. And we tend to be embarrassed when we forget things, especially the simple things like an anniversary or someone's name. And forgetting is oftentimes equated with not being smart or having some sort of disease like Alzheimer's. But actually, as we heard from Bernadette Roberts, the dimension of spiritual forgetting is key to our development and maturing on the spiritual life. That it turns out that forgetting our story and forgetting our situations and forgetting ourself are essential for keeping our journey unfolding. And unless we're willing to let go of ourself and literally forget ourself, we will be limited in the joy of our future evolution and growth. It turns out that forgetting is a key part to growing. And that is something we're going to talk about today. There's a poem by Rumi, the Sufi poet, who says this: "Stay together, friends. Don't scatter and sleep. Our friendship is made of being awake. The water wheel accepts water, and turning gives it away weeping. Stay here, just here, quivering with each moment like a drop of mercury." It's a beautiful reminder. Stay together, friends. Don't scatter and sleep. Our friendship is made of being awake. The water wheel accepts water, and turning gives it away. And that to me is the key of that whole passage, that the spiritual journey of friendship, of spiritual community, of helping each other stay awake and remembering God and ourself, is a big, big part of all of our journeys. But then something counterintuitive happens, represented by the water wheel. It's a giving, but it's also an emptying. And what might be pouring out of that water wheel? Could it be yourself? Could it be what you hold on to so closely in terms of your memories of pain and trauma and difficulties and grudges and resentments and all the things that we define our life by? Could that be part of what needs to be poured out of that water wheel of life, even as we're filling up with something new and different? There was a river in the Greek underworld. There was five sacred rivers, and you may know this, but it was called the River Lethe, L-E-T-H-E. And the River Lethe meandered by the cave called Hypnos, where we get the word hypnotic from. And the river Lethe, that Greek word Lethe, meant the river of forgetfulness. And in order to pass into the realm of Hades, into death, you had to drink from the river Lethe. And when you drank from the river Lethe, you forgot everything. You forgot your life, you forgot who you were. And it was as if you could then enter into death and the possibility of rebirth. But it required that forgetting first. And this is a very important thing to think about, the physical dimension of sleep. That if you deprive yourself of sleep, or if you deprive someone of sleep, it's a form of torture. After 2 or 3 days without sleep, people start to hallucinate. And certainly after a week without sleep, people start to die. That the physical system cannot survive without sleep. And that the gift of sleep every night is a kind of river Lethe. It's the gift of forgetfulness. How many times have you felt bad or depressed or mad at the end of the day, going to bed with something on your heart that's heavy, and you go to sleep, and the morning comes, and it's as if it never happened, and it doesn't appear to you. And maybe a few minutes have to pass before you remember, oh, that thing. But sleep is this beautiful symbol of the importance of forgetfulness. And sleep, not only physical sleep, but happens spiritually. We forget certain things, and we certain things are concealed from us so that we are healed. And in that concealing, who knows where it goes? It may never really disappear. It might go deeper into our unconscious. It might go into our issues, the issues in our tissues. It might become a part of the body and the soul. But whatever, it's concealed from us, even though it may not be healed from us. And that beautiful process of forgetfulness by way of physical sleep is a mercy and a grace to all of us. But there is a deeper kind of forgetfulness, a deeper kind of sleep that I want to talk about. And that is the truth that sometimes we need and want to forget things in order to evolve and grow. And our unwillingness to forget them contributes to our inability to forgive and move forward. And so forgetfulness of our story, forgetfulness of our situations, forgetfulness of past events, forgetfulness of the totality of ourself. Now it's that forgetfulness of self that's the hardest thing for us to comprehend, because we spend so much energy trying to contain the self and improve the self and define the self, what we are. So we're afraid of letting the self go and forgetting the self. There's a beautiful elderly man who I visited for 3 years when I was a pastor in San Antonio. And I met him when he was, I think, 95, maybe 94. And I first came and he to his condo to visit him, and he called me, "Pastor Malcolm. I'm so glad to see you, Pastor Malcolm." And he talked to me as if I were Pastor Malcolm. So I just went with it. And I realized that although he was intellectually all there, there were parts of his memory that weren't. And that the safest thing for me to do was not to try and correct that or try and shake him back to reality and say, "Actually, I'm the new pastor. I'm Pastor Peter." And as it turned out, over the 3 years of visiting him, I tried to visit him once a month or so, but I got to know his story. And though he didn't know who I was, he knew who he was. And the most important thing he wanted to talk about, the two things, he always wanted to talk about his beloved wife. And he had a picture of her sitting there, and she was just a radiant woman. And he always wanted to talk about her. And when he talked about her, he'd cry. And the second thing he wanted to talk about, he'd always ask the question, "Pastor Malcolm, can you tell me about heaven? What will heaven be like?" And even though he didn't know who I was, and even though he couldn't remember things from just a little moment ago, he was longing to remember his wife. He was longing to remember what heaven might be like and know what heaven might be like. And so we're afraid of forgetting things like that. We're afraid of letting go of the people we've loved, of the places we've been, of the person we've been. We're so defined by that, that fear of forgetting all of that is terrifying for most of us. But also, if you can think about it in terms of what Bernadette Roberts is teaching us, that part of letting go of the self and the self being consumed by God is a deep form of spiritual forgetfulness of our story, of our situations, of the past events, and of our very self. And though we love ourself, and though we define ourselves so clearly by our memories, perhaps there is some wisdom in each of us and some joy in discovering how we can release a little bit of ourself into that forgetfulness. And as we do, I find that something emerges that I would describe as joy, but even more so I would define that joy as a specific kind of joy. And you can verify this for yourself. See if what I'm saying is true for you. The specific kind of joy that I feel as I forget myself is the joy of freedom. The joy of freedom. To truly be free of self. Now there's an analogy about this, just to help us understand the joy of this freedom of forgetting, and forgetting ourself in particular. It comes from the Arcanum of the Magician in the Meditations on the Trove by Mr. Tomberg. And in that meditation, he talks about a juggler, or a magician, who's juggling multiple balls up in the air. And Mr. Tomberg describes this as an act of, in some certain sense, a certain forgetfulness of self. And he calls it concentration without effort. And concentration without effort is another way of talking about spiritual freedom. The capacity to be in the flow, to be you without thinking about it, to be you without the contraction of self, of that mirror looking at itself, seeing itself and being self-conscious, to literally find that mirror drop so that you no longer see yourself and you're free of yourself and you can concentrate without effort and, as it were, enter into play, the freedom of play and the capacity to do is how he describes it. And I think that that's an invitation for all of us as a fruit of forgetting ourselves, is that we have the freedom to be joyful and we have the freedom to be playful and we have the freedom to be ourselves for the first time without being so self-conscious. And so there's a real beauty in letting go and a lightness of being that comes from this freedom, that we are no longer so present to ourself. And that's a good way of translating that word that St. Paul describes that Marianne just read, that forgetting what lies behind, I desire what is to come. That's a beautiful passage. It's an affirmation, really. And the word forgetting comes from two Greek words that they smush together, and it literally means to cease being present to something, or that something ceases to be present to you, that it's no longer arising in your conscious awareness, your field of awareness, that it is no longer present to you. So forgetfulness isn't so much intellectually losing things, but it's this capacity of our consciousness to no longer be present to that moment, to that story, to that sense of self, that it's no longer arising unconsciously and consuming you so much. That is a beautiful thing of forgetfulness, that our conscious awareness is no longer placed on that because it's no longer arising. And we strain, we strive, or desire, I love that word, desire, for what is to be revealed. So something is being concealed in forgetting and something is being revealed and unveiled in the desiring. Sebastian Moore describes desire as love trying to come into being. Desire is love coming into being, seeking into being. And so forgetfulness allows something new to arise in our lives, something new, a desire to arise that wasn't there before because the energy was in what you were remembering. But by way of the gift of river leave forgetfulness and releasing that self, one enters into the opportunity for new beginnings, fresh starts, holy of holy moments that seem to come out of nowhere and connect in a powerful way. Rumi again writes this stunning poem. Lo, I am with you always. This means when you look for God, God is in your eyes, in the very thought of looking, nearer to you than your own self or things that have happened to you. Be like melting snow. Wash yourself with yourself. I just love that. Be like melting snow. Wash yourself with yourself. If that's not another image of forgetfulness, I don't know what is. It's the water wheel receiving and emptying, like snow melting and dissolving. And isn't that what Bernadette said? That if you wish to move beyond the unit of state, it will require the death of the unit of state. It will require the forgetfulness of all the goodies God has given you, all the joys and sunlight moments of the spiritual journey, because that's a part of the union, and rightfully so. And really the purpose of the adult lifetime is to come into that unitive state. But for my friend in San Antonio, he couldn't let go of his life. 95, 96, 97, 98, still asking the same questions. Will I see my wife in heaven? He couldn't let go. And I don't know if that's what kept him so long lived. He died, I think, 100 years old, just this spring. But so many of us can't move forward on the spiritual dimension because we're holding on and unwilling to forget something. Something that has been done to us, something that hasn't been done to us, something that we wish to be done. To experience. Just forget it. Let it go. The Buddhist tradition has a very wonderful way of teaching on this subject of death and forgetfulness in the spiritual journey. And we can learn something from their wisdom. And this is from the Dhammapada. And it is the teaching of the Buddha about the arhats. And he said that the arhat is one who is deserving, who has developed the fullness of their humanity by attaining nirvana. He said that our arhats are profound, measureless, unfathomable, like the great ocean. But people don't just start out as arhats. Arhats he called private Buddhas versus the bodhisattvas who come back and publicly serve all sentient beings so that they might be free. But arhats are private Buddhas, he called them. But before you can become an arhat or a bodhisattva, there are three other stages. The first stage is called an aspirant, someone who aspires to be what he calls a stream winner. A stream winner. I'm not going to try and pronounce the words here from the Dhammapada, but the English translation is a stream winner. And that is one who practices the Eightfold Path, whose direction of living is toward nirvana. And you might call this person an aspirant or someone who is seeking the spiritual journey, seeking to live according to the grace that God has touched them with, and they are hunting it out. They are working the grace of God out in their lives, and they are on a spiritual path. They are moving toward nirvana, a stream winner. Then the second phase is one who returns after much effort and many lives. The aspirant becomes a once returner. They come back once and they cross to nirvana in just one lifetime. So they've lived enough, they've developed enough so that this final lifetime is it. And once they complete it, they enter into nirvana. That's a once returner. Then the third step is called the never returner. And this is one who has reached nirvana and never needs to come back and be reborn. And then finally, the arhat is the one whose path in life can't be traced. There's no karma. It's complete freedom from the cycle of birth and death. And this is their understanding of the spiritual journey. And really, the arhat is the one who forgets deeply, completely. and doesn't remember any prior life and is free. And in Christianity, it's a simpler process. But so much of this transformation that happens in the multiple lifetimes in the Hindu and Buddhist traditions, in Christianity, happens on our spiritual journey in this lifetime. And it's the death and the resurrection and the ascension that Bernadette speaks of there that is, in essence, the completion of the journey for everyone. And we might just ponder that what this Hindu and Buddhist system is teaching could be summarized as what happens in the spiritual journey of one lifetime in the Christian tradition understanding of suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension. So ultimately, this deep forgetfulness is going to occur to us one way or another, that as we leave this physical existence, this plane of existence, probably a great deal of what we remember is released and forgotten. But I like to think that something endures, that even though we are called to forget so much, to keep growing and evolving, something endures. Something will never be forgotten. Something will always exist. Something of you, that unique light fingerprint of your beingness, your essenceness, will always endure in everlasting realms of glory. I believe this with all of my being. I can't conceive, and I'm unwilling to let go of that gift of eternal life, whatever that might be. And even though we forget so much of ourself, perhaps as we forget, we can become more of Christ, and Christ become more of us. And here's a little story from a poet by the name of W.H. Auden, who, by the way, probably knew and interacted with Uspensky and perhaps even Gurdjieff. And he was a peer of Uspensky and Gurdjieff. And he writes this about an experience he had, and this hints at, I think, the nature of what always endures and which ultimately can never be forgotten, because it transforms us and crystallizes into light and love in ourselves and our being in a way that will always endure, even death. And it is the ascension experience. But this is a hint of what that ascension experience might be like, or what we would call the communion of saints, or life in God, or the body of Christ, or everlasting heaven. And he writes, "One fine summer night in June 1933, I was sitting on a lawn after supper with three colleagues, two women and one man. We liked each other well enough, but we were certainly not intimate friends, nor had any one of us a sexual interest in another. Incidentally, we had not drunk any alcohol. We were talking casually about everyday matters, when quite suddenly and unexpectedly something happened. I felt myself invaded by a power, which, though I consented to it, was irresistible and certainly not mine. For the first time in my life, I knew exactly, because of this power, what it means to love one's neighbor as oneself. I was also certain, though the conversation continued to be perfectly ordinary, that my three colleagues were also having the same experience in that moment. In the case of one of them, I was able later to confirm this. My personal feelings toward them were unchanged. They were still colleagues, not intimate friends, but I felt their existence as themselves to be of infinite value, and I rejoiced in it." To forget oneself is to gain others. To forget oneself is to remember God. To forget oneself is to become the self. I don't know how else to put it. And each of us practices this when we sit for 20 or 30 or longer minutes in meditation. Because if you wish to cultivate the art of self-forgetfulness, The golden pathway into it is sitting in the silence of centering prayer or some other form of meditative exercise and practice. Because you can describe the fruit of centering prayer and the fruit of other methods like the focusing method or Christian meditation or transcendental meditation, whatever method, they all contribute to the forgetfulness of self, to the dropping of the head into the heart and into the body. And though we don't meditate for results, and though we don't work for results, I believe you can verify for yourself the thing I'm talking about theoretically, that the gift of so much of the spiritual life is this experience of no longer remembering oneself. And though it might be terrifying at first to come out of a sit and not even know where your body is, if you just breathe in and hold it for a few minutes, you will come back to the room. You will come back to yourself. You will not pop out of your body in meditation. But something of yourself might be poured out in that water wheel. And your beloveds might appreciate that. And you would as well. There's so much to say about the gift of forgetting. So much to feel about the gift of forgetting. There's so many of us walking around who haven't been able to sleep, and therefore we haven't been forgetting very well. The accounts keep building, and we keep focusing on the presence of that thing in our life that we won't release or forgive or forget. And we would be much freer if we could. I want to close with a prayer that's an ancient prayer from about the year 800. And it's a prayer by a Syrian monk, a monk who had given himself to God and lived a life of forgetting his story so he could remember God's destiny for him. And I just will pray this prayer for all of us as a kind of wish that we might be a community of remembering, a community of wishing, and a community of forgetting in the most conscious of ways. Let us pray. My beloveds, do not be afraid, but wake up and cry to the Lord. Cry out with your heart when you suffer, and let the voice of your cries arise from the depths of your soul's thoughts and silence. Instantaneously, all your anguish will flee. The veil of sadness will be rolled back, and the fearful depths of your afflictions will part before you. You had thought you would not be able to cross over them on foot, and yet here you are walking over them. You are traversing the deep and difficult things of life. Your prayer pierces the abyss and passes right through it. The light of salvation rises before you, and you remember who you are. And in that remembering, you can release it. And a serene brightness dawns. You stride ahead with joy, freedom, and trust. You cross the depths that you had never crossed before and never thought you could. And you, my brothers and sisters, ascend to the place of freedom where you have forgotten yourself and gained all and everything. You've heard what I've had to say. Let's take a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to complete its work in our lives this morning. And we remember, brothers and sisters, the truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all our needs. We give freely and receive joyfully, like the water wheel. And how blessed we are when we simply forget ourselves and remember God. Amen.
Just sit there right now. Don't do a thing, just rest. Just sit there right now. Don't do a thing, just rest. Separation from God, it is the hardest work. In this world, just sit
Let us now rest in the silence of centering prayer for 10 minutes, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives. Amen.
I hope you have at home prepared a table to co-celebrate the Eucharist with us, and invite you to do that in the weeks to come if you have not done so. The Eucharist is the river Lethe. It is a river of forgetfulness, and we forget by remembering Christ. And we come and bring ourself to this table and release it and receive Christ. It's a beautiful image of transformation. For many people, especially in the Roman Catholic tradition, the Eucharist was very much associated with the forgiveness of sins, and one needed to confess one's sins before receiving the Eucharist. And literally that idea of being absolved of one's sins is the depth of forgetfulness, that neither East or West even remember themselves as far as East as West is. The power of absolving, of forgetting. And for us in our community, it's also an awakening. And we awaken to the truth that is always hidden in plain sight, the divine center in each of our being, consuming us with its love. Let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Spirit and transform us into your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's reign on planet Earth, and for the joy that is coming into completion in each of our lives as we forget ourselves. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen. Let's stand and join in singing Amazing Grace. I thank you for your presence today in this beautiful community of spirit in the cloud of the Church of Conscious Harmony. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace, power, and presence of the Holy Spirit is infusing our lives together and helping us forget and remember.